You're listening to Four Seas, One Family, episode number 17. Hello, I'm James, and thank you for tuning in Four Seas, One Family. Thank you very much for all the email I'm getting here, and I'm a little bit overwhelmed. I have a lot of things planned for the next couple of weeks. And look, if you can please stop by iTunes and leave us some iTunes love there, because this will help us get the word out about the podcast and hopefully get more and more people together here to share, you know, in their experiences of living abroad and hopefully make the world a little bit closer. And also, if you'd like to send us some voicemail, just stop by the website. And on the right side, there'll be a little tab hanging down there that says send voicemail or voice message to Four Seas, One Family. I would appreciate it if you stop by, leave a little comment there. Maybe I can get it into our shows. I really appreciate that. And, well, thanks a lot for tuning in and hope to hear from you guys soon. Now, back to the show. Welcome to Four Seas, One Family, the podcast where expats and future expats can share and learn about life experiences abroad. I'm your host, James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm glad to have you traveling along with me on this journey. Today, my special guest is Kathy Wong. She's a Taiwan native now living in Australia. She's a wonderful friend. I've known her for many years, so without further ado, let's get straight to the interview. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, James.
Hello, hello. Where are you right now?
I'm in Australia, in Queensland, Gold Coast.
Wow. How long have you been there?
I've been here 2.5 years.
2.5 years. And how are you liking it so far?
I think I live here. It's really good. And it feels like I'm not from overseas, almost.
It doesn't... You don't feel like you're overseas?
No.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
It's because I live with my boyfriend's family.
Oh.
They are Australians. And I also work at Australian company.
Cool. So you've been at 2 and something years. How did you end up there? I mean, why Australia?
Because when the first time I wanted to go for working holiday visa.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Then after 1 year working holiday, then I decided to become a student to study my master degree.
Cool. That's cool. That's cool. So you're living with your boyfriend's family there. How much preparation did you do in Taiwan, you know, for, you know, to end up in Australia? Was Australia your first, you know, choice, or why?
I think it's because it's the easiest access to go overseas in terms of like visa or information.
Getting a visa had an issue with was a main, how would you say, part of the equation of going abroad.
Yes.
Have you thought about going anyplace else?
I've thought about going to Japan or the UK, too.
Well, how much research did you do before? What I mean research, like, did you spend a lot of time, like, running over to the local library here in Taiwan and reading up about, you know, Australia and, you know, what do Australia, you know, what do they...
Like kangaroos.
Yeah, oh, yeah, right. Do kangaroos really fly? No, you know, something like that. I mean, how much research did you do or did you just talk to people?
I think I've done lots of research because this is a entire new country for me. So before I came here, I did lots of research on the internet. Mm-hmm. To go on the backpackers' website to, like, research something about the living style and the cost of living and where, like, and the jobs too, because the most important thing in here is to get a job.
Okay. And that'll fit in your future career goals, right?
Not exactly.
Okay. Oh, no, I'm, Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, because for a working holiday visa, it's only like for a year or 2 years term.
Right.
It's not a career.
Okay.
So we're only thinking to come here to get lots of money, earn lots of money, and then to go back to Taiwan to spend or whatever.
Okay, I'm going to talk more about that later, but you know, I want to get into some basics because a lot of people who are currently abroad or who are thinking about are going overseas for various reasons, they want to know certain things, you know. And one of the biggest ones is, you know, dealing with language issues, living in of course, you can improve your language abilities by living in overseas in many cases, but how did you prepare language-wise?
Oh, language-wise?
Yeah. I mean, you studied, of course, English here.
how did I prepare? So, before I came here, mm-hmm. I watched lots of English videos, dramas, everything, almost in English.
Uh-huh.
But when I came here, I lived with my friend's auntie.
Uh-huh.
And in her house, we sometimes have to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
So since that, I picked up some English.
Right.
In the host family.
Right.
Then after that, I got a job in the factory.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the chance to talk with my colleagues, the local people. Like, so I learned some accent or some slangs.
Right. Like
yeah,
and I know because I've known you before you went to Australia. You learned mainly American English, and I'm sure when
yes.
you got there, they were like, "What are you saying, mate?"
yeah, it's true.
Is well, you know, language.
True.
Like, yeah, it's funny, right? You know, accents are one thing, but learning to, you know, comprehend a basic of a language is more important than anything else, I feel. But do you have any interesting stories from that? I mean, like.
Oh, yeah, of course. So I think the first time I know some slangs. Oh, do you want me to show you some? Like,
oh, yeah,
slangs?
Please. Yeah. I got to hear this because this is educational to me.
Oh, just a boy from my previous work told me, like, if you want to say, I'm going to say this sentence and you guess what that means.
Okay, go for it.
So the sentence is, like, check the snake on the Barbie.
I don't know what you're saying. Check some neck on a what?
Snake on the bubby.
The snake on the bubby.
Yeah, so snake means sausage.
Okay. Snack.
Yes, and bubby means barbecue.
Oh, goodness. Bubby.
So chuck some sausages on the barbecue. Yep.
Okay. See, this is like, it's interesting because, you know, when someone goes, lives overseas for a short while, they always come back with interesting stories to tell, you know, and this leads to another question that I like asking everyone is like, how did you, I mean, yes, you actually worked in areas where, you know, there's a lot of locals. Can you talk about how you are able to open up or did you have any obstacles that kind of made it difficult for you, or maybe you didn't have the obstacles that made it easier for you to actually mix with the local people? How did you go through that?
So sometimes if I can't understand, I would say, sorry, I don't understand. Then I won't pretend that I understand because that will make things worse.
Correct.
I just stop and ask them nicely to repeat again, then they will be really nice to repeat again and really slow so I can understand. That's like overcome my obstacles.
That's important because and I mentioned this in my previous podcast, you know, at most locations people know if they see that you're not from their home or you're, you know, a foreigner, they will take the time to talk to you. I mean, they will take the time to break things down to you. And, you know, and that's good because, you know, it helps them learn about you and you learn about them, which is priceless. I mean, not many books overseas can actually replicate that kind of feeling, you know. Did you explore your environment much? Because let me tell you, I hear all kinds of stories about how dangerous Australia can be with snakes and alligators and stuff like that. I mean, I'm from New York City. We don't have alligators walking down the street. You know, we have
me neither. I haven't seen them.
We have other things to worry about. So that didn't scare you, right?
No, they're all in the zoo as far as I can know.
At least from where you are. How about this? How about, because, you know, going overseas is sometimes cross-educational in a way that people ask you certain things about your home, right? Yep. And you have to sometimes say, no, that's not true. Or people back home would ask you questions about, hey, I heard people over there do this, this, and that, you know, and you have to tell them, no, that's not the case. You have any interesting stories or anecdotes based on that kind of a questioning?
So in here, since I'm from Taiwan, I'm Asian, they always ask, like, do you have rice with your meal every day like that? Then I'll say, no, we still eat, like, burgers or steak.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And when I went back to Taiwan, they will ask, my friends will ask me, are all Australians drinking a lot?
Laid back. I would use the term laid back.
Laid back? Okay.
Laid back.
Yes, and relaxed.
Really?
Always relaxed. I said, not exactly. About the drinking part, I've known some people that are not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah, they are pretty relaxed. It's like when I'm at work, when it's lunch break time, everyone will definitely take their lunch break in the full time. Not like, oh, I'm busy, I have to go back earlier. Oh. There's no such a thing. Everyone takes their break and
they relax. Enjoy their downtime.
Yes, downtime.
Well, that's something that I need to learn.
I
need to learn that. So it's really cool because I always find it hard being in another country sometimes to focus, especially if I have to work or study, you know, and I have a lot of my own personal memories and how to stay focused. What keeps you, like, how do you manage to not only keep focused, but kind of like, you know, just keep yourself balanced? I mean, do you do extracurricular activities or stuff like that? How do you stay focused?
So I will go shopping.
Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. We're getting stereotypical now.
And sometimes I will read some news from Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can understand what is happening in Taiwan. And I talk to my family as well, like every day. And when I'm studying, sometimes it's really hard to study. But when I think I'm here,
right,
I got the opportunity to be here. So I gotta try my best to do everything with work or study.
Right.
Or even at the relaxation time. I have to be really focused.
Yes. I love the word focus, you know. I love the word. Well, you know, you mentioned something about your family, you know. Do you find it sometimes, how do you deal with issues where, you know, your family always wants you to be near them, you know, always, you know? Do you have to deal much with issues like, you know, when you're coming home or stuff like that?
About my parents, yeah. I think I'm really thankful for that because they won't be like, oh, you have to come back, we miss you. They won't give you such a pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like really comfortable to be here. And they're happy too. If I'm happy, they're happy too. And I always can talk with them online or FaceTime. It's really convenient now. So there's not such a big issue about this part, which really appreciate.
That's good, because that makes things a lot different, you know, a lot better when you know you got support. And family backing. How about things that you miss about home? Because you know you said it's easier now to communicate with back home, whether it's Skype or Google or Facebook or whatever. But you know, you always hear stories or see your friends back home doing this and that. Do you ever feel like you're missing something?
Oh, mainly is food.
Food.
Yes, food.
What do you miss? What food do you miss?
Oh, lots of things. Like,
You're going to say beef noodles, right? Nyo mian.
Beef noodles. Yes. I love that.
Me too.
And yeah, other stuff that I can't get it here.
Uh-huh. So you have to...
I really miss those food.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can see. You got to find, you know, the restaurants there just... It's just a different place. And that's things you have to, you know, accept. And, you know, stuff like that can lead someone to go into a state of depression or homesickness. Have you faced any homesickness?
Yes. I have to admit, yes.
How did you handle that?
How
did you handle your homesickness?
Sometimes I cry.
Okay.
That's a really good, like, stress release, though.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and after that, I just talk to my family, but I won't tell them that, I cried.
All right. I hope they won't listen to this podcast. Oh, goodness.
Maybe my brother will.
Okay.
Ben.
Yeah, he'll listen. Ben will listen. So that's how you, what got you over that, as we say, what got you over that hump? What got you over that hill after you, how did you pull yourself out of this homesickness?
Maybe since I live with my boyfriend's family, I don't feel that much about homesick. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm living in the home.
In a family environment.
Yeah, in the family environment, yes.
So that helped pull you out there. So you got into the local. You got out into the local. I guess that's getting kind of local there. And you know, I'm still trying to understand something about like how people who do go overseas, and I try to share this with anyone I interview, you know, how do they stay focused? And I can hear this from this interview. You really weren't about the food. But how about other activities? I mean, do you get out and enjoy other activities with your family or your boyfriend's family or other friends? Where do you go? What's you doing your leisure time abroad in Australia?
So we sometimes go to the base. Football game?
Soccer, Americans say.
Yeah, we call footy. I was trying to say footy. It's football.
Okay. We call it soccer, Americans. But yes. I like to call it football myself now, too.
It's like American football, the thing like that.
It's called, you're talking about rugby.
Not rugby.
Galancho.
Yes, Galancho.
It's rugby, you know?
But they don't wear those. Protects.
Right. They don't wear pads. No, that's definitely rugby, and it looks painful.
Yeah. So we call footy, rugby. Maybe they're all the same thing.
Uh huh.
Yes.
It looks rough to me.
Yeah, it is.
What advice, okay, would you give other people who are looking to traveling abroad? What advice would you give them if they're thinking about it or planning? What can you think of any advice you would offer?
Oh, I think first of all, you have to be brave.
Brave.
Yes, you have to be brave.
How about confident?
Yeah, and confidence. And yes, because when you go there, you have to deal with everything that you don't have to do when you're back in home in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could be anywhere besides Taiwan, right? Regardless of where you're coming from, right? You have to be brave. How about the concept of keeping an open mind?
Yes, that's correct. That's really important. Because some people, I've met a few people here, they're from Taiwan, and they're still thinking, like, still comparing things here with Taiwan, say, oh, this is not good, and this is really bad compared with Taiwan, and this is so, like, expensive. They're not open their mind to live in a new country. So that becomes a really hard part for them to stay in at overseas.
Mm-hmm. So you definitely have to open your mind, and because you different places have different rules, and no, regardless of where you're going, there are good people and there are not so good people. And you have to find and stay around the good people because, you know, that's how, you know, we make the world a little bit closer, I guess.
Yes.
Do you think how do you think your overseas experience will, how would you say, help enhance you as a person? How do you think your overseas experience will help you further develop as a person? And if so, how?
So I think I get more prepared.
You feel more prepared?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think I feel more prepared and planned for everything. So I think I can see my 3 months or 6 months goal. Yep, like that.
So your overseas experience help you become a better planner?
Yes, a better planner. Yep.
Cool. So you mentioned something about also some other fellow expats that are having a little difficulty. So maybe you can share this thought with them, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna give you an opportunity here to say something in Mandarin to people who are listening to this show, and you know, take your time and say something to them.
Oh, 我觉得就是如果你想要出国的话。 当然语言条件是最好还是要有，但是重点是你来这边之后，就是真的要，当然之前一定要做好准备，但来之后就是要有一种，就是要克服困难，你就是要反正要把它克服过去，然后之后就会感觉比较顺利。 还有保持乐观呢，乐观，对，然后要保持乐观，然后要都要很开心，因为这样子别人看到你也会很开心，然后就会帮助你，好运就会一直来，就是这样子的感觉，感觉很重要。Thank
you very much. Look, it's kind of late over there, and it's a very short, quick interview. I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time and sharing your little bit of experience with me.
Thank you.
And everybody else. Okay, well, look, for Four Seas, One Family, I'm James Thompson from Taipei, and I'd like to thank once again Kathy. Goodbye, Kathy. Talk to you later.
Goodbye, James.
Okay, bye-bye, everyone. Thank you. And if you have any questions, you know, please drop us an email at show@4seas1family.com or drop by the website, 4seas1family.com. And please, you know, drop by iTunes, leave us some, you know, notes there, leave us some good words there, because, you know, this is how we get the podcast out to people, and it really helps us a lot here. We can have more people know about the show and share more experiences about life living abroad, because, you know, everyone in the world, we are all the same but different, and this makes things more interesting for us to learn from each other. Once again, for Four Seas, One Family, I'm James Thomas. Bye-bye. Zaijian. Four Seas, One Family is a production of the World Data Exchange Video Network, WDEVN.